if you see what we fill in the blank with, okay? Because we want the Word and the message of the Word be the one that affects your heart, that lays on your heart. Now, it depends on where our heart is where the Word goes. Now, everybody hopefully will agree with me that the Word of God, the Word became flesh in Jesus, but the Word was with God, and the Word is given to us and is laid upon our hearts. So I believe what he wants is that when we become like Jesus, or we become connected to Jesus, that the Word would become flesh in you and I. Okay? That we will take on the Word in our heart, and we act upon the Word because it changes who we are. And when it changes our character, changes our actions, changes our decisions, and the Holy Spirit leads us, then our fleshly being looks more like Jesus and acts upon that. I think that's really, really what we... But if our heart is not well, there's only one heart that will really give the power of the Word the effect that it's needed. Now, we're going to jump around with that. And Satan used to toy with my mind about... is God wants it to be consistent on a daily basis to have a healthy heart. But there's this sometimes that I'll be good soil about this message, and it I learn from it, I become more like Jesus like it, and then another message, another powerful message from God and his Word plants on my heart, and my heart's not quite so ready to hear that one, or I have an unhealthy heart to deal with. But we're trying to get our hearts to be healthier in a spiritual way. I mean, we spend so much money, so much time, and we do spend a lot of time in prayer about our physical being. I truly believe if we spent as much, if not more, time in prayer about our spiritual being, I think things are going to happen. Now, it's not to exclude the physical, but if we would start learning how, and maybe all we have to do is... I don't know how to pray spiritually. I know how to pray to God about physical things. Be with somebody that's having surgery. Please heal them of this. But praying over, remember the list of our heart, praying over somebody that we know that struggles with anger, struggles with slander, and we start with ourselves, that, you know, please release them. We don't go around just pointing fingers and say, well, they don't have God in their life because they act evil. Well, let's pray about that God could get them to understand what evil is doing, like we're getting to understand evil, and we're trying to get it out of our life, and we have Jesus Christ to do it. He's the only one to get evil out of my life. And that's the message that we have. But the heart, we need to listen to it. Where's it beating? Who's it beating for? Where is it? Is it functioning correctly? Does it need to have surgery? Does it need exercise? Ooh, I used to love that word. Oh, I craved for that word. Exercise. See, we first probably need an exorcist so that we can exercise the Word of God. Matthew's writings, and I know it comes from Jesus' teachings because Jesus spoke it, he just wrote it. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So really, what's in your heart will eventually come out. Okay? Sometimes it's going to be joy. And it's going to come out. Sometimes it's feeling low or angry, and it's going to come out. So the overflow of the heart, the what we're speaking about, how we deal with life, how we view life, how we deal with struggles, that's all going to tell us where our heart is and where God needs to be or where he is working. So here's fill in the blank. We're going to go down through these, and I want you to go home and look up at these verses. I gave you the verses to study. Maybe you could use it and just evaluate it and just say, God, please let your word, the scriptures, be my mirror. Be my doctor. Jesus is described as the greatest physician. So allow his words, his teachings, to allow me to know the condition of my heart. So number one, there are signs. Now, have anybody read any physical thing? I mean, all you have to do is go to a hospital waiting room and visit somebody, and you'll see some kind of chart that says signs of a heart attack about ready to come. You know, it's like signs of a heart attack about ready to happen. And you go down through all those lists and everything. Well, the sad part is that if we would be able to get ahead of the signs and get the exercising, we'd never have to worry about experience the signs of it. But if we have heart disease, if we have some kind of different kind of difficulty that is happening to our heart, here are some signs to look for. Well, what are signs of an unhealthy spiritual heart? Romans 2:5 has two of them, 1 and 2. Stubbornness is a sign of an unhealthy spiritual heart. Now, at times we're going to practice stubbornness, but we need an exorcist of it so that we can exercise a, what I would call a teachable type of heart. Number two, unrepentant. Not willing to admit my own wrong. Unwilling to bring my sins to God and say, change me. Change me to be more like Jesus. An unrepentant heart. Number three, Romans 16, verse 18 says, our hearts can be deceived. Deception. Satan will disguise himself as something that is good when it's something very dangerous. Our hearts can be deceived. Our hearts can be deceived what the church is for. Our hearts can be deceived, as we've been talking about, just getting into a routine religion and we totally lack relational. And we'll find every excuse, believe me, I've heard a lot of them. I hear them in myself. We'll find any excuse not to be relational. And yet, God makes these relationship commandments and calls us to live them out. Now, one person can't do all of them for everybody. But here's a new saying I'd like for us to be reminded of. May the Holy Spirit lay it on all of our hearts. If everybody in this church family served even a little, a lot could get done. The key word is everybody. Everybody did their part. and really wants to find out what their part in this church family is and has a determination to find it. I think that's what leaders are for. Leaders are to help children of God find their part in the body so that all of us together looks more like Jesus. But we can be deceived what church is and how life drains us to the point, and we keep, it's funny how Kevin does this. I can add more of the selfish life that I would like to have easier than I would be about giving up something to serve another person. Number four. This is in Matthew 13 and Luke 8. Our hearts can be calloused. That's a sign of an unhealthy heart or a hard heart. What happens to a hard heart is that the message that's giving, like when you read Scripture, you get up in the morning, you sit on your front porch, cup of coffee, and you're reading Scripture. So the words go into your mind, and it's trying to make it to the character of your soul, which is your heart, okay? But because it's filled with maybe self, you think about yourself a lot. At least I got my reading done. But it doesn't go anywhere because it doesn't change you. It doesn't do anything about that, because what it does is it lands on a heart that is hard, and Satan comes along and just rips it away. See, what Satan wants to do to every person that either reads the Bible or even hears a message of the Bible is that if he can have your heart be so hard, then you won't listen to God, you won't practice the things, you won't believe that it actually works. So he'll come along and snatch it. And see, we can be deceived that at least I heard the word. I went today and heard the word. But where does it go from here? It really depends on the heart. An unhealthy heart is a hard heart. Satan will come along and just snatch it away. Why? So that you won't believe in the Word of God and you will not be saved. When we go out and try to spread the Word to other hearts, there's going to be hearts that are hard. You know why? Because it's going to land on all different types of soils. So what's the church to do? Well, if we go out and there's a hard heart and they don't want to listen and they hear the message and they decide not to believe and they don't desire to be saved, they just want to live for themselves, what do? Okay, let's just quit sharing. Why don't we all just quit sharing? Because nobody wants to listen anyway. The sad part about that is that you and I don't know every heart. Like God knows every heart. So every person that comes in front of Kevin that's new, I'm trying to get my mind and my heart to say, maybe God is sending them to me to hear something from me. And first of all, I want to show them the love of Jesus and be able to share that. Okay? So a hard heart. You're going to find out in the parable of the sowers, rocky heart. It's very shallow. We get excited about what Jesus has done for us, and then because it is very shallow, it takes no root. It doesn't go deep down in us. And then the first disappointing thing that happens in life, why did God allow this to happen to me? And that happens. I had a phone call this week about somebody that was struggling because a certain situation happened to them physically, but it happened because they were doing some good. And they were wanting to know why God would do that to them when they were trying to do good. And the only thing that came to my mind is said, you know, I think God is pleased with you trying to do good. Maybe it's Satan that wants to come along and steal away what you have already done and convince you that there's no need to do good because God allows this to happen. Have we ever thought that maybe it's Satan trying to get us to stop doing good? Well, usually I hear, I never thought of that. I just thought if I was out doing God's work, nothing would ever happen to me. Nothing bad would happen to me. Actually, I truly believe in some fashions. When I see the apostles, the more I want to spread the word, the more things Satan tries to throw at you to stop you. But you know, God can overcome that. And I think that we've been deceived at times as churches that when bad things are happening to us, we don't have time to spread any good. Or we don't even have the willingness to spread any good because I'm so focused on the bad things that's happening to me. And I can be deceived with that. Sometimes it irritates us to see somebody that is stricken with health issues but has joy that's just flowing from their heart. We're kind of like, good heavens, I don't know. I can't relate to that. I don't know if I want to be around that person. I'd rather be around the people that moan and groan and complain and grumble because that's more like me. It's just amazing to be around people who say, yes, this is a battle. This is a struggle. And there's sometimes I just cry out to God. And sometimes I shout to God. But I tell you one thing. I believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ, and that's the best thing I've ever had in my life. So no matter what happens to me, I get to be with God. That's incredible. That's an incredible story. But a calloused heart will not feel that way. A rocky heart, a thorny heart. That's when worry of life or fear chokes it out, that we really don't believe that Jesus and God truly loves us. And then the last one, number five, is Satan-filled. An unhealthy heart can be filled by Satan, even at moments or periods of time. Remember when Ananias in Acts chapter 5, when they were selling property to give to the ministry? They were selling property to give to the ministry, and yet here they have made a promise that they'd go out and sell property and give it to the ministry. But what happened was there's, in the mind frame is that, well, we sold it, but I'll keep some back for myself and give and then tell that I gave it all. And here's what the words Ananias heard. You lied to the Holy Spirit. How did you let your heart get filled with Satan? So our hearts, even as believers at times and want to participate at times, can be filled with Satan motives. To where he was dishonest and lied and was selfish. And that's signs of an unhealthy heart. And I'm sure there's more. Let's go on signs to a healthy heart. A healthy heart is for all of us. We can all have a healthy spiritual heart if we desire. Number one, it's where I'm storing up my spiritual treasure. I find out what pleases God, and I store it in my heart. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how people think I'm weird, that's all right. I had a brother talk to me this week about how somebody had talked to them about sometimes I clap my hand, sometimes I raise my hand. I said, well, one of the reasons why I do that is because I sit up here is to be ready up here, but I'm not trying to be a show for anybody else, not trying to force anybody else to do it. I'm just trying to get my heart to understand that Jesus Christ is the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I got to praise the Lord, and I love him so much more than I do the West Virginia Mountaineers and the Minnesota Vikings. If I clap for them, I'm going to clap for the Lord. Amen. And that's the only reason why I know. And there's other people that question that. What's that for? What's that about? I never saw that before. That's not the Church of Christ way. Well, some of us, it's our way of phrasing. And that's okay. I'm not asking anybody else to be. But that's where I'm storing up my treasure. I'm trying to get joy back in my life because I tell you, Satan's been after me and you with a lot of discouragement in life. Number two, a sign of a healthy spiritual heart is one that is gentle and humble. When I don't get my way, it seems like humility flies out the window. Just leaves me. Gentleness is not a part of my character overflowing from my heart that comes through my mouth and through my actions when I don't get my way. James says, why do we quarrel? Why do we fight? Why do we argue when we disagree with each other? It's because you're not getting your own way. That's why we fight and we quarrel. But if gentleness and humbleness was there, we listen, we even reason, we even try to teach when other people don't feel the same way. You know, when I'm out trying to have hearts see that the life that you're choosing, a lot of hard hearts out there. But I tell you one thing, I don't need to be mad and argue with them. I don't need to argue and debate them. What I need to do is love them and be gentle and humble and try to show them how serious and how important their life is to God. Number three, Matthew 13. That's the parable of the soils again. This is about the good soil, the soft soil, the cultivated soil. Your heart receives the word and it grows inside you and produces. Receives and produces. John the Baptist said, produce fruit in keeping your repentance. A repentant heart will eventually produce some fruit. You go to Galatians chapter 5 and you find out the characteristics of the Spirit of God, the kindness, the gentleness. Well, those will be produced in a repentant heart. A stubborn heart, it will not. So receive and produce. It's changing you. That's a sign of a healthy spiritual heart. Last one, Matthew 5, is blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You want to be able to see God working in today's world, we need to have purity in our heart. That's why we go to God with our sins. That's why every day we need to go and say, forgive me of because I caught myself being stubborn today. I caught myself. I want to be purified. Purify me, Lord. Create in me a new heart, O God. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Have you heard those words from somebody before? Hopefully when you read Psalm 51, that's what you heard. And that becomes our prayer. So what can God do with a healthy heart? Number one, well, he knows and he'll open your heart. He'll work from the inside of you to produce an outward flow. So words will be spoken in a holy way. Actions will become holy. I mean, we're even challenged to be holy as God is holy. Now, that doesn't mean that we're these Christians that are puffed up and saying, I'm better than you. Actually, a holy heart says, no, your interest is as just important to me as my own. And actually, I'm going to lower myself to become your servant. I'll wash your feet. That's how important you are to me. Who, by the way, gave us an example of washing feet? And that's who we're trying to become like, right? So he knows and he opens. God knows and opens a healthy heart to respond to the message. See, it's like today. I don't know where this message is going. I don't know where it's landing. But I guarantee you, if you have a healthy heart, God will know it, and something will happen because he'll open your heart to receive the message. Not saying that Kevin is a good messenger. Stop that. There's some days I know I'm not a good messenger. But I am giving a message right now, and I do it to try to do it to the best of my ability with the passion that I have in the heart. But what's more important to me is not that Kevin is considered the greatest messenger in the whole wide world. What's more important to me is, will the word go deep into your life and change you? That's what's important to me. Because I need a lot of brothers and sisters as the body of Christ to help me minister to each other and help me go out and spread good news to a lost and dying world. Everybody is needed in this church. And everybody, I hope, wants to do their part. And we're going to have to find out what those parts mean too, because sometimes we have substituted that for something different. Number two, what can God do with a healthy heart? His peace will rule. Colossians 3:15. The peace of God will rule your heart. And then the last one, that's Matthew 22. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. A healthy heart, God will lead into a loving, understanding relationship. Am I loving others the way I love myself? So what do? Jesus came to die for our sins. Acts 2:37, you know, I know being raised in what is proclaimed as a Church of Christ, Acts 2:38 was a theme verse. I started to realize I was ignoring Acts 2:37. They were cut to the heart and ask, what can I do? What can I do about my sin? If Jesus went there because of me, what do I do? Repent, Kevin. Repent. Get connected to the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection. Be born of water for the sign of repentance and forgiveness. But that was John's baptism. Jesus, John said, I baptize you with water. Now comes along the one that will baptize you with the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, I don't know, be honest with me. How many times have we talked? Do we talk about the baptism of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in holiness as much as we do the baptism of water? If we don't, we need to get them equal. We need to be talking about they're connected. You can't put an or in there. You got to have an and in there. It's not just getting this done. It's what happens when you come out as well. Am I following Jesus? Am I letting my heart be open to his word? Is my life changing? Because I can be deceived that I did something in order to deserve salvation. Well, I did that. And I can be deceived with that. Here's Kevin. I did that, and then I get to go and be whoever I want to be. And the Lord said, no, come and follow me. I'll bring on a new life. That's what you're committing to. So number one, what do? Pure our hearts, purify our hearts before God. Draw near to God and purify our hearts, James 4:8. And then number two, in our hearts, set Christ apart as Lord. Make him the Lord of your life. Now, I'm going to just describe Acts, the book of Acts, because reading down through this, I know it would probably take too much of your time, but you can read it at home. But there was one message and two different responses. And here's the message when you read Acts 2. You're going to hear Peter stand before the crowd, and actually what he's going to do is he's going to say, because of your sin, that's what nailed Jesus to the cross. That's the reason why he had to come. That's the reason why the whole mission of God. He knew that we were going to mess up, and when we did mess up, he had a solution for it. And the way to live for him was to learn how to deny to yourself. Well, so I'm going to have to deny myself. Well, who's my model? Who's my model of pure denial of self? God sends himself down to the earth, becomes human, and shows us what selflessness looks like. All the way to the cross, so that I can follow Jesus to my own cross and my own forgiveness of sin and my new life. And that's what Peter spoke to him. You're the ones. All of us are. All have sinned and fallen short. You're the reason why Jesus died. Take it, own it. The response in Acts chapter 2 was they were cut at the heart and they wanted to know what to do. And they responded to it. And I know we get overwhelmed, we get excited about 3,000 baptisms. And that is, I think 3,000 baptisms is incredible. But from what I understand, due to the population of the region that was there at that time, 3,000 was not that very many people that responded well to it. You know, 3,000 to 300,000, that means what? 297,000 didn't respond. The 3,000 did. People were cut to the heart. If you go to Acts chapter 5 and read it, the same sermon Peter spoke to them was spoke to the Sanhedrin, get this, the religious leaders, the church-going people. When they heard the same sermon, your sin took him to the cross, they wanted to kill them. One message, two different responses. And it was all because of where their heart was. Every time you come together, every time you open up the Word, one message. And I pray that we respond with an open heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a time to be together. I pray that this message will help us know how serious it is to listen to your word. Not deceive ourselves. Even James even tells us, don't deceive ourselves by just listening to the word. Let's put it into practice. Because if we just listen to it and that's all we're going to do, then we can be deceived by that. Father, I pray that all of us who are here would feel your love and understand the need for your forgiveness, your grace, and your mercy. And I pray that all of us here will have the desire to say, let's form a body. Not what we've been in the past, but what we could be in the future. The culture's changing around us. There's so many different things that are being pulled at. What can we do to do our part? Every single one. Not just to watch a few people do it, but everybody be a part. And that will work together towards your cause, towards your mission. And when we do that, I know we're going to find some people. And we're going to tell them the good news. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for your love. And it's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ is the best news for you and I, right? I'm going to do something that you just heard, kind of was revealed to me. If you think Jesus Christ is the best thing in this world, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And hopefully what you heard read will happen. Okay? Let's stand and sing.